This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Thursday, everyone. Another edition of Thursday Coast for you with the founder of the largest online progressive community. There is dailycoast.com. Marcos Melitzis joins us once again. My friend, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. Good to see you as always. You wrote a piece, and I think this is what everyone is contemplating. Is this the final straw for MAGA? Folks, of course, we're talking about the Epstein files. Very few things have gotten under Donald Trump's skin. One thing stands out, we recall, Little Hands lost it. I remember the Washington, no, this is a true story. You can probably read this somewhere. You know, when they have the Washington Post editorial board meetings, 2016, he goes to the meeting and that's all he talks about. They want to talk to him about issues. He said, but look at my hands. Do my hands look small to you? I think it was Ruth Marcus who wrote that. She said, he kept asking me, look at his hand. Do my hands look small to you? I want y'all to look at my hands. I mean, just, he was gone. And you know, we know.
That was Mad Magazine, right? Had made fun of his hands. He wasn't even responding to anything. It was Mad Magazine.
So wait a minute. No, but did Mad Magazine start that or Marco Rubio?
No. Mad Magazine started that back in like the 90s, like a long time ago.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I guess
it was Rubio that brought it back.
And Rubio brought it back, yeah. And it killed his campaign, by the way. Republican primary voters did not like it.
Yeah. But it got under Trump's skin. Now, obviously, the total meltdown over Epstein, Congress is in recess, right? That's still going on, to avoid taking this up. And I saw a Republican on TV the other day. He said, we had to vote. It'd be 500-1 to release the files. I said, this dude's got to be exaggerating. I don't even believe that, but maybe he's not. He said it would be 500-1, Marco. So you're here. What is going on?
It's absolutely fascinating. What seemed to be a conspiracy theory, this idea that there's a list of Jeffrey Epstein clients that is full of the elite, has been a staple of the right-wing conspiracy theory. And for them, it's been the idea that Bill Clinton is on it.
Right.
That is their sort of obsession. Bill Clinton's on it. Right. And Bill Clinton did hang out with Jeffrey Epstein. This is not a conspiracy, right? But obviously there's no evidence that he actually went to the island and had sex with underage women and did that part. Epstein was a schmoozer. He's very rich, powerful, influential person. And he used that to surround himself with people that gave him credibility. That said, if Bill Clinton was on the island and did things, then no, I mean, we're Democrats. We're not going to defend. Right. We're not going to defend. But that's been the conspiracy theory, right? Now, we also know that Donald Trump was on Jeffrey Epstein's plane lots of times. If there is a list, Donald Trump is on it, right? This is not. Now, I think the notion that there's like a neat little list is still sort of far-fetched, right? But also, I don't know if you need to literally take the idea that there's a list, right? The fact is there was an island. There was guests on that island. He did illegal things. He was convicted. He wasn't convicted. He was in prison, or was he convicted of trafficking young women? And Ghislaine Maxwell was obviously convicted for the same thing. Those underage women were trafficked for somebody. And it's kind of hard to believe that there is no evidence anywhere about who these people actually are, right? So there's a kernel of truth in this idea that there's a list, right? And so Donald Trump being Donald Trump, he rode that wave. He encouraged it. He promised to release the files and made a big deal about it in a campaign trail. Once elected, Pam Bondi, the attorney general, said, "I got the list right here on my desk." Now we find out, thanks to the Wall Street Journal, that as the files were on Pam Bondi's desk, it turns out that Donald Trump's all over them. This is not conspiracy. This is the Wall Street Journal reporting this. Donald Trump's name was on the file. All of a sudden, Donald Trump doesn't care about the files. Why is anybody still talking about the files? It's an Epstein hoax. It's Bill Clinton and Barack Obama created this hoax to make Republicans look bad. He like threw all the greatest Donald Trump hits at this thing. But he did it all at once, Mark. It's really, really weird, right? Because he just threw it all out.
Right.
And he didn't do it in a way that brought along his base. And his base is obsessed with the Epstein files. They you know, it's QAnon. The core of the QAnon conspiracy theory is that there's a cabal of elites that are trafficking young women. That's sort of like the nut core. This is why they raided that pizza parlor in Virginia or Maryland, because they thought that Hillary Clinton had her den of underage sex trafficked women under there, and he went down there to like rescue them. Like, this has been sort of core QAnon, and there's a split. There are those who are trying to defend Trump. There was a Newsmax host last night that said that Maxwell was may have been an injustice the way they railroaded her and convicted her, right? So they're trying to lay foundation for if this comes out, if Trump's name's on it, then it's all innocent.
Right.
But the bulk of the rank and file of MAGA, like the hardcore MAGA people, they're pissed. And they're, for the first time ever, as far as I remember, they're not walking in lockstep with Trump. They're not accepting his theories. They're actually poking holes at Trump. Just the way that, you know, QAnon always creates, no matter what happens, they like they fit their narrative to justify whatever crazy they're pushing. They're not doing that to Donald Trump. And in this case, it's easy because Donald Trump is lying flat out. And it's been a fascinating thing to watch. They had to shut down Congress because for the first time, House Republicans did not play along with the White House, and they refused to back off on Epstein. I mean, they were forced to vote against releasing the files last week, which I think killed a bunch of them. And they basically told the White House and they told Johnson that they weren't going to do that again. The Speaker of the House, they told them that they weren't going to do that again, and that they were going to use the Rules Committee to push for an opening of the files. And a House subcommittee just voted to subpoena those records. So this is actually getting really interesting. And there's no doubt, Mark, that they have names. And there's no doubt that the vast majority of those names are rich, powerful people, because that's who Epstein hung out with. And it's probably going to include Bill Clinton, and it's going to include Donald Trump. It's going to include a lot of people. It doesn't mean that they had sex with underage women. It does not mean that. But a lot of them did. Mm. And now we know, again, thanks to the Wall Street Journal, that Donald Trump... I mean, we know that he sent them that birthday wishes letter where he kind of wink, wink, we are the same people, with lewd drawings of boobs and women, and there is a lot more to that connection, to that friendship. See, you know, New York Times had a front page in the Sunday edition on the long relationship between Epstein and Trump. CNN pulled out a bunch of new unearthed videos. now they're coming out with this thing. They could have talked about this 9 years ago, but they didn't. But now they can because the Wall Street Journal has given them permission. Because, you know, the traditional press is at the behest of Rupert Murdoch. But this relationship is a lot deeper. And the fact that Pam Bondi saw Trump's name and suddenly Trump's all squeamish about it says that there's there. Can you imagine Trump writing that conspiracy knowing that his name's all over that thing and that he was besties with Epstein? But he thought he could get away with it, right? He thought that he could shoot somebody on the street and he could get away with it. And he thought this was the same thing. And for the first time, it may not be.
So questions, many, many questions. Are Republicans actually wanting this information to come out because of their fixation and the MAGA base's fixation on pedophilia and Epstein? Or are they also hoping that there are other prominent individuals like Bill Clinton caught up in that? Which is it? Or is it a both and?
I actually think it's a pedophilia thing. I think it's an article of faith on the right wing. The base is obsessed with it. The MAGA base is obsessed with it. And it's career ending if any of them vote against this again. I think that's the bottom line. So I don't know. It's more political, I guess, it's the answer. Whether they believe it or not, they know that the base believes it and they're going for it. I don't think anybody gives a damn that Bill Clinton would be on it if Donald Trump is on it. Like, who cares?
So next question then is there, since it's political, and that you're saying that makes sense, it's a very plausible theory. Is this, because politics is politics, is this a way for them to neutralize Trump's authority over them? You don't do what I want, I'm going to primary you. Does this give them some leverage over someone that really is supposed to be gone in a few years? Now, again, I don't think he's leaving. You know, I've talked about that.
Yeah.
Let's say he's got to go. I mean, is this these guys' way of saying, yeah, we're going to make sure you're gone so that we can move on with our own personal political ambitions?
So I hadn't thought all that way through, but Mark, that makes a lot of sense. That makes they're not. I don't think they're very happy at the big beautiful bill. How many of them complain about all the rural hospitals that were going to be impacted? And Josh Hawley, literally the day after it passed, introduced a bill that would rescind the Medicaid cuts. And so I think there's a lot of resentment towards Trump. A lot of them have ridden the Trump wave, right? And they're going to ride the Trump wave all the way to the end. But I think there's a lot of them that, you know, Lisa Murkowski, who was promised things and then got rug pulled. I don't know anybody surprised, especially her, but Josh Hawley was upset. It was Virginia. Both senators were complaining about how there's no state that sucks more resources out of blue state taxpayers than West Virginia.
Right.
And they voted for this, right? Like,
right.
So, and they did so because they were afraid of Donald Trump. They were afraid of Donald Trump. So, yeah, no, this might be the first sort of step. I mean, it's the first revolt. And the problem with this is that Trump loses either way, right? Is there any scenario in which Trump wiggles out of this one unscathed? Either he manages to arm twist Republicans into not releasing the files, and those Republicans are going to be, they're going to get wiped out next year. Like, they don't need more headwinds than they already do, right? I mean, they already have enough headwinds. The public isn't liking Trump. They hate the big, beautiful bill. And now they're going to add this to, like, depress their own base. And you got Elon Musk talking about primarying Republicans. Like, they've got a lot of things they got to face next year. Do they really need to deal with this? So either he suppresses it and his base assumes that he's on it. And I spend time on QAnon forums and subreddits and other forums.
Bless your heart for that.
And they are pissed, and it's actually been fun seeing moderators try to figure out how to squelch it, because the moderators are all in on Trump, right? And they're trying to figure out how to minimize the impact. And there is a article of faith that, oh, I guess he's on it. I mean, that's the only way that it makes that Trump's behavior makes sense. And all of it, you know, Pam Bondi said she had the files. They can't pretend there's no files now. She literally said, I have the files on my desk right now and I'm going to release them. And then she didn't, right? They created this mess and they don't know how to wiggle themselves out. And I think it's a lose-lose. Either they, you know, he manages to keep them out from being released and everybody assumes he's a pedophile and that will have political consequences or ramifications, or they come out and his name's all over it. And the problem with when these names come out, even people who are on there who had nothing to do with Pedophile Island, their names are going to get dragged through the mud, right? That's just the reality of the situation. There's not going to be any black and white. There's not going to be any gray nuance, right? It's going to be very black and white. And it is what it is. Again, this is a scandal of the Republicans' own making. And honestly, I'm not going to feel sorry for people who hobnob with Jeffrey Epstein. It's just, that's not where my empathy is going to go. Not an era of, you know, where actual people are struggling. But yeah, it's lose-lose.
And actually, now that you mention it, you know, the Wall Street Journal and others, everybody's talked about him being in that. Let's be honest. If Bill Clinton was all in it like that, they would have leaked that. They would have said that. Mm-hmm. And he would have even said it to you know, because he's grabbing at stuff. Yeah. Obama is sedacious. That's not a word. I think he was trying to say seditious.
Yeah, yeah. His Obama obsession right now is actually kind of hilarious. Like, talk about grasping at straws.
Obama is sedacious, y'all. Okay. So I mean, even that sounds a little
sedacious.
Even that, I don't know, to me that just sounds a little like it sounds like a sexual word. So you really look sedacious to me. What is sedacious, right? So yeah, man. But again, I, you know, politicians are politicians. So if you can get leverage on this cat who's controlling you,
yeah,
and call some shots, because, I mean, y'all, let's be clear. Again, politicians. Because he wants to be president forever doesn't mean there aren't 30 other people in the Republican Party who also want to be president someday.
Yep.
Right? So, you know, you don't wait till his bitter end to start planning that.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind. And it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
I wish I could go back and find the guy. I gotta look for it. But he was on TV last night, and he was a Republican. He said if we held the vote, it would be 500 to 1.
So, Mark, and just to continue with this thought, the problem that Republicans have right now is that for them to win the 2028 presidential election, assuming there is a Republican primary, in order to win it, they got to have the MAGA base with them, right? You can't win without it.
Right.
And right now, the only way to get in its graces has been to kiss Donald Trump's ass, right? Like, oh, we're going to put you on Mount Rushmore, or we're going to put you on the $100 bill, or we're going to name the Kennedy Center Melania Trump Center, right? That's the only way they can really get on his graces and to vote with them. Like, you can't cross them. Now, there's a way to create distance for the inevitable Donald Trump collapse and still sort of pick up that MAGA base, and it's to play to being the heroes of the Epstein saga. So right. Yeah, this really does undercut him in ways that ain't gonna serve him in the next We're still in year one of his presidency. Are we still in half a year? Let's see. No, we're in the second half of the year, but barely. He's got a long way to go.
Is it a done deal? Do you think that that they would really? I mean, that this could really turn, because the base, even nothing has ever turned the base against him. If it were to come out that he was doing something inappropriate or sedacious, you said Pedophile Island, man, I wasn't ready for that either. Oh my God. If it turns out he was on Pedophile Island being sedacious, what would his base, you think they'd actually be?
I think there's already, again, there's a guy on Newsmax last night trying to claim that Maxwell may have been a victim of rogue prosecutor, right? So they may start laying some foundation to flip MAGA to being pro Epstein. I don't see it working, Mark. I've been on their forums, and there's nothing they care more about this. I mean, it's sort of, they'll say, like, I like what he's doing with immigration and the budget, but. This, I can't support this. Like, it is such a core, deep obsession of theirs. And quite frankly, if they end up being right about it, and it was the scandal of this, you know, this evil elite cabal who abused these women, I'm giving it to them, Mark. I'm saying you guys are right about this one. And whoever was on there, whoever was in the island partaking in that, like, let them burn. Like, nobody's going to defend that shit. And if Trump was there, particularly how, and I think part of it is how he abused their trust, right? And they forgive a lot. It's kind of amazing how much they'll say, he lied about that, but I still support him. This is the one thing where they're like, he lied about it, and they cannot let it go.
Yeah, that's really very... very interesting if that were to be his downfall. And again, he's scared of it.
Oh, he's clearly failing. And here's the problem. One of the big problems for Trump is that people are willing to overlook the consequences of his actions because he's the cult leader, right? Like, he can do no wrong. Once you pierce that veil, once that community hospital shuts down in a rural district, they're going to be a lot less likely to support him and to defend him when he is no longer that exalted, you know, your Royal Highness, which he's been treated that way by the MAGA base. And I see it. I see how suddenly they're like, they're a lot more critical of his actions in a way that they were really just willing to shrug off before and just overlook.
Yeah. The other question I have, so how long has the DOJ had the Epstein files? Might we mean to suggest that if they were there under Biden, if Biden had released them, Biden wouldn't have had to drop out?
I mean, my guess, Mark, is that list is going to have a lot of Democrats, Democratic donors,
okay,
rich people on it. And so I don't think it's in any of their interests to see their buddy's name fairly or unfairly dragged through the mud. And the reality is that whatever list exists, the probably the vast majority of them did not do anything illegal. Epstein showed up to fundraisers. People took photos with him. They took his plane. Doesn't mean that they actually had sex with underage women. The assumption's going to be, if such a list is released, that all of them did, and it's going to really destroy a lot of people's reputation. Unfairly. And I think that's what everybody is looking at. Now, why hasn't anybody gone after the people who were actual partaking in it? That's where the conspiracy theories can get in, right? The elite look out after each other. If your big donor is one of those people, are you going to look the other way so you can keep the checks coming? That sort of thing, right? Like, obviously, there's different rules for the ultra wealthy than there are for you and me. But, that's my guess is that there are big names on there, and nobody in power is interested in seeing that name released. And You know, Trump, like, now he doesn't have an interest in it. Even if his name wasn't on it, you better believe a lot of his donors, supporters, Peter Thiel may be on that freaking list, right? Like, who knows who the heck is on that list? And he doesn't want that list released, even if his name wasn't on it. I bet he wouldn't want it. His problem is that he promised to release it, because there's not a conspiracy theory that he hasn't been happy to jump on if it wasn't going to help him in the moment. And then Pam Bondi oversold it. Or maybe she didn't oversell it. Maybe those files were on her. I mean, now we know they were on her desk, and she realized Donald Trump's name were all over it and that they couldn't release them.
So, lastly on this point, where does this end, Marcos? Are they going to be able? I guess Pam Bondi is probably doing a lot of redactions right now, in case they have to release them. In case Congress says we're going to vote to release these.
There was a vote to release in one of the subcommittees in the House. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it hadn't come to the full floor, right? No. So if that happens, so I guess she's got to do some. Figure out how to do some redaction. Just have black marks all through them. I think I have found Sedacious. You know I got to do this. Hold on. Let me see which one it is here. I think I've got Sedacious. Give me 1 second, y'all. Y'all want to hear Sedacious? We just got it. Since I brought it up, we got to. We got to do this. So let me do this. All right, we're gonna get Sedacious here for y'all. And then I have something else that's a little more controversial, but we'll decide whether or not we're gonna do that. All right, this is Sedacious. Let me see if I can bring this up. So we can hear it.
Scandal in the history of our country. And you'll see exactly, we're going to add that to all the stuff that we found. It just confirms it. But what we found is even more so. Now, we found absolute, this isn't like evidence, or this is like proof, irrefutable proof that Obama was seditious, that Obama was trying to lead a coup, and it was with Hillary Clinton, with all these other people, but Obama headed it up. And, you know, I get a kick when I hear everyone talks about people I never even heard of. It was this one. No, it was Obama. He headed it up. And it says so right in the papers. Got everything. This is the biggest scandal in the history of our country.
Everything's the biggest of the country, isn't it, Mark?
Biggest scandal in the history of the country. In the history of the country, y'all.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Sedacious. Obama. Okay. So we're going to do two things here. We're going to make an editorial decision. South Park had a really ugly segment on all of this last night. And now that I say it out loud, maybe I was going to share it. But maybe I shouldn't, because it's really, it's very, very graphic.
It's hilarious. It's so good. Mark may not show it to you, but y'all go look for it. It's
Marcos, you want to show it? All right, so I'm gonna do this with a disclaimer. It is it's pretty bad, y'all. It's pretty bad. So if your constitution is sensitive, you may want to just look away for a moment. Make sure, get all the children out of the room. School's out, so I know kids are home. I'll do it. I'll share it.
And it's an AI-generated naked Trump. So you know how stomach-churning that's going
to
be.
We're adults. We're adults. And everybody else does stuff to go viral. Why can't Marcos and I for a change, huh? Why don't we just do what everybody else does, okay? So hold up. Let me see if I can pull this up. Yeah, this is it.
Are you doing the full segment with the lead-in, or just the desert scene?
I think so. I got this off of Blue Sky, so I think this is probably about as full as I can get. Bye. Hold on. Let me do this. I'm gonna get this set up. And
yeah, that's the full. But that's okay.
That's the full one. Okay, here we go, y'all. This is now. Y'all get ready now. I warned you. You need another second or two. All right, so here we go. It's about a minute or so, but here we are.
Faith in Christ. We're bringing back Christ. That's money in Christ. Bringing back Christ. Christ makes
life. That's not it, Mark.
Is that it?
No.
It leads into it. Here we go.
Mr. President, a lot of your supporters are starting to turn against you.
Hey, tell them to take a rest.
Sir, can you please talk to them? They're really riled up.
All right, give me that. Hey, relax, guy.
Yeah, hi. What do you think you're doing? Our children are being told that they have to sit with Jesus at lunchtime?
Listen, buddy, you just need to relax. All this protesting makes me look bad. Just take a rest.
Well, no, we're not going to give it a rest. All the people here in South Park want some goddamn answers.
All right, then I'm going to sue your whole town. You got that?
Yeah, so that...
Stupid idiots. Think they can mess with me, huh? Hey, Zane.
I'm not in the mood right now. Another random bitch commented on my Instagram that you're on the Epstein list.
The Epstein list? Are we still talking about that?
Well, are you on the list or not? It's weird that whenever it comes up, you just tell everyone to relax.
I'm not telling everyone to relax. Relax, guy.
No, I need counseling. You remind me more and more of this other guy I used to date. Like, a lot. Like, you guys are exactly alike.
I love you.
Oh.
And I...
That's the. Let me turn this off. That's the episode from.
So, Mark, you're last night. Mark, you're coming in kind of muted.
I'm sorry.
You're still here.
That was South Park.
There we go.
I'm
so that's the setup though. So at the end of the episode, Trump sues South Park. They cave like everybody else has been caving, and part of it is that they have to say nice things about Trump, and that's the piece that is actually. Have you seen that piece?
I'm seeing that one. Okay, I need to find it.
Oh but, no, that's the one that's an AI generated Donald Trump walking through the desert naked with a small penis.
Oh my God. I didn't see that. Really?
Yeah, no, that's the one. That's how it ends.
Wow. So now let me, I don't know if I can get that one, but so here's my question. What are your thoughts about Colbert? And how that went down. I mean, that's glaring, man. That's what these people are doing in terms of caving him is unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is. It's infuriating. And we just saw Columbia University do the same thing, right?
Yeah.
And so I mean, I'm over it. I'm really over everybody caving because there's just no reason for it, Mark. Just freaking fight. Like, the legal system will grind on, like, it, you know, he won't be president forever. But they can't. They can't do it. Everybody caves.
Well, you know what I think?
And it emboldens him.
This is what I think. I think what they're thinking is he's leaving soon, so let's just pay him off, and then he'll be gone in a few years, and we can go back to what we were doing. That's kind of what I'm getting from what people are saying and doing. But I don't know. You're not building a resistance. Let's say he does leave. Are you building a resistance for J.D. Vance?
Right. And are you going to tolerate this from the next Democratic president?
Right.
I mean, The Supreme Court, who's basically said that Trump can do whatever he wants. I mean, day after day in the shadow docket, the conservatives on the court aren't even bothering to explain how Trump can fire members of a commission that are set by statute, not even by statute. And the majority is like, they're not even. Because they can't justify it, right? So they just shadow docket it. They just basically sign off and say Trump can do it. And are they going to do this with the next Democratic president? Because they're creating some real precedent here that's going to dramatically change the face of our government. And quite frankly, when we have a Democratic president, we're going to be asking that Democratic president to use those powers that Trump established. They try to go back to this, oh, we're going to go back to the old norms. Ain't going to have that. Ain't going to have that. If this is the way the country's run now, it is the way the country's run now, and that applies for Democrats too. And that includes all these media companies that are caving and creating special conservative content for Donald Trump. That's a new reality. That's a new reality. Get used to it. And quite frankly, that's dumb. Why would they want that?
Yeah.
Not to mention, I thought communism was bad. I thought government control over businesses was bad. And I hear Republicans just tolerating Trump telling Washington commanders what name they should have, what team names should they have, what their policies, what kind of executives they can have on their boards. I mean, this is complete and utter disregard for everything that conservatism ever stood for. And okay, that's the new rules. That's the new rules. But those rules now apply to everybody. And there's no sense from Republicans that they're setting a precedent that is actually going to come and bite them 10 times as hard next time.
And it's like these are buyoffs. I mean, he's working this. He's getting money from people. He's getting payoffs because everybody's afraid to go to court against him. So they just pay him off. What Columbia gave? How much money did Columbia give him? $200 million.
$200 million.
Insane.
So Mark, I'm texting you it's from an Instagram account, but I'm texting you the clip of.
Okay, wait a minute.
If you wanna, this is the one that's actually legitimately bad.
This is so bad, y'all. Hold on, give me a second. Let me see if I can pull this up. No, wait a minute. I think I know what to do. Yeah. So y'all, we're being bad today. It's what the kids call being messy. We're being messy. Your kids ever say that, Marcos? Being messy.
No, they don't.
I'm sure they do. You just haven't heard it. That's what all that's what all the kids say. Okay, so this is let me see if I can share this one, y'all. I just need to see something here. Meanwhile, while I'm doing that, y'all, there's also another rumor that I received or heard, Marcos, that just back on this vote and Trump being in trouble and folks even saying he might need to leave office. There's a group of MAGA and Republicans who want J.D. Vance to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that just last night. So that's they kind of dig him, you know, this up and coming type of thing. I don't know why, but. My God, you know.
Yeah, no, J.D. Vance doesn't have the charisma that Donald Trump does, or that weird magical ability to get people to do his bidding and ignore his frailties. And nobody does. Trump is really a unique, atypical figure. And thank God, we don't need more Donald Trumps in our world.
All right, so Marcos, you're telling me this is X-rated, right? For the most part.
Not X-rated, but R. And it's an AI video of Donald Trump in the desert with a small penis. It's actually hilarious. And it really makes fun, right? Because the premise is that South Park, they protest. Donald Trump sues them because he sues anybody that's critical of him. And then they cave. So they have to do they have to pay millions of dollars to Donald Trump. And then they have to do pro-Trump messaging. So the video is a pro-Trump message, but South Park style. So it's actually really, really funny.
And so, yeah, I didn't do this. I'm just sharing it. By the way, I don't know if you noticed either, Mark. Did I send this to you? So Midas Touch went back about 10 years ago and found my old clip when I was on Sirius XM interviewing Uncle Luke of Two Live Crew, who described being in one of those parties with underage girls.
Oh.
I didn't reamplify it, and I'm gonna tell you why, because I don't think Midas Touch went through the whole thing. He gave a description. We went to a commercial break. We negotiated him coming on the show. He's on the phone. We went to a commercial break. Some of you may remember this. And Luke hung up the phone. And I called him. I was like, what happened, man? He didn't want to talk anymore. He got to a point, and I was gonna get more. And then I don't know whether somebody texted him and told him to shut up, but he literally hung up in the middle of the interview.
Wow.
He disappeared. Now, what he said was troubling enough, and others have used it over the years, but Midas Touch If you go to Midas Touch on Instagram and Blue Sky, you'll see it. But it's me talking, me in my image, talking to Luke on his, he's on his phone. So, you know, you all can check that out. Okay, so listen, I'm going to try to do this. We're going to go with South Park. So y'all brace yourselves. I didn't see this one. I saw the one I shared earlier. So this will be something for me to behold as well. All right, y'all ready? So hold on. Let me get this just queued up just right. This is on Charlotte. So
we saw this set up in the last clip where South Park is angry at Trump and they protested.
So this is Charlotte Clymer's Instagram. Here we go. Oh, no, wait, I can't hear anything. Hold tight.
Yes, sir. I will relax and I'll take a rest. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, we settled.
Oh, we settled. Thank God.
I got the president down to $3.5 million.
$3.5 million. That's not so bad. That's really fair. I think that's fair.
We'll just have to cut some funding for our schools and hospitals and roads, and that should be that.
Yeah, well, that's not quite all. As part of the settlement, we also had to agree to doing pro-Trump messaging.
How are we supposed to do pro-Trump messaging?
Oh, come on, guys, we're South Park. We can do it.
Yeah.
Right. We just got to work together.
Yeah.
Who walked through the desert for you? Who survived the wilderness and gave the ultimate sacrifice? When things heat up, who will deliver us from temptation? Donald J. Trump.
Oh! Oh!
No matter how hot it gets.
Okay, look at this.
He's not afraid to fight for America. With conviction, discipline, and trust in God, he survived the desert.
I can't do it.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I endorse this.
Trump.
Oh my God.
His penis is teeny tiny, but his love for us is large.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We'll be happy to pay that.
So that's okay. Okay, Marcos, that was a lot. That was a lot, man. Oh my God.
That's an instant classic.
Has he said anything about South Park?
No, I don't know if anybody's. Maybe they won't tell him. Maybe they won't tell him.
Y'all, and I apologize.
I believe they're owned by Paramount, who just did the big sellout. So this is going to be interesting.
Well, I think they took us off of Facebook. I got a notification they took us off Facebook.
Yeah.
I think they took us off Facebook. Yeah, I just got a notification. Wow.
What's the reason? Copyright?
No, I guess just might have been that or what we were showing. I don't know. Oh my God.
Yeah.
South Park is rough.
For anybody listening, yeah, it's literally an AI generated Donald Trump walking in the desert, taking his clothes off. And then with a tiny, tiny little penis.
Yeah, they're gonna definitely have to pay. They're going to pay for that. Okay, moving right along. So you all know, Joy Reid and I guess about a week ago did a segment on the election. And there's an organization called Election Truth Alliance. There are a couple of them, but Election Truth Alliance has been looking at sum it up, as you all heard, drop-off rates. And what that may mean, and the incredible drop-offs in terms of Democratic votes for Kamala Harris versus other down-ballot Democrats, including somebody, you know, people such as the superintendent of North Carolina schools, and that how normally that doesn't happen. There's some drop-off, there's some gain, but it's never just Marcos is my friend. And I'm never, you know, one thing I will always pride myself on, I'm not afraid of being held accountable myself. So Facebook removed your video. Somebody texted me, but I saw before they cut it off, you may be in Facebook jail. Wow, that's interesting. Very interesting. So yeah, they did take me down. I don't know if I'm in Facebook jail. I'll check now, y'all. So anyway, we did this segment and really, I just wanted to put it out there because I'm not afraid to think about or consider any and all things. And Ozzy Marcos, you know, you've been big on vibes. Many believe something funky went down. They didn't see you raise $1 billion. You got all of this and that, people come from all over the place. And then you just lose like hell in every battleground state, which they say has not happened since Reagan. So in, I guess, what, 80 or 80, probably 84. So anyway, I'll give you the floor because Marcos was like, nah, no band. He has no bandwidth for it. So Marcos, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I don't have the claims in front of me, so I can't, you know, distinctly refute them. This idea that it's odd that there was a drop off in Democratic votes is in itself pretty kind of not really that noteworthy. Of course, there was a drop off in Democratic votes. That's why we lost. That's what happens in an election when there's a drop off in votes. It was pretty universal. It was about 6 points in non-battleground states, and there's about 3 point shift in battleground states, which just sort of points to the fact that a ground operation is worth 2 to 3 points, and Trump didn't have a ground operation. We did. So when you have a 6 point national shift, and it's a smaller shift in those battleground states, there's nothing noteworthy about that. That is just basic element of what is now a nationalized electorate. You know, elections used to be fought on local issues. They're not fought on local issues anymore. Everything's nationalized. And the fact that we had a ground game and the fact that we were able to keep it tighter in those battleground states allowed us to win most of those battleground Senate seats, barely. Things would be a lot disastrous right now had we lost in Wisconsin, Nevada, and Michigan. So Arizona. So we're lucky in that. But there's nothing about that that suggests that there's anything hinky or weird. I mean, so I skimmed the first page of the report, and they make a big deal out of Russian hoaxers calling in bomb threats to polling operations. That does not explain the national shift. In fact, and again, I only read the first page of that report. They were talking about a precinct in New York. Why would Russian hoaxers trying to influence battleground states be calling into New York? Right? So there's really not a lot there. There's a lot of presupposition. There's a lot of why would this happen? Why would this happen? That is not evidence that something happened. This sounds exactly like Republicans talking about how they won the 2020 election and how it was stolen, because how could Trump have lost? How could there have been a drop off in votes? How could he have gotten that many votes and so many Democrats voted? The reality is that it just happened. We lost. And by pretending otherwise, I think it actually is a danger to our movement, because instead of talking about what went wrong, how can we fix our messaging? How can we better appeal to the people that we lost? How did we lose low-income voters for the first time ever? Why did we only win those making $100,000 or more? Those are questions that we as a party need to grapple with and we need to figure out. And this is why it's exciting to see somebody like Mandani, who's actually, he's figuring out that what you do to win votes is you promise voters a better freaking life. That's all you do. And not by, oh, we're going to modify the tax code. No. I think I talked about this last week or a couple of weeks ago, Mark. Instead of putting a child tax credit for people with young children, why not mail a freaking check to the parents of young children, mail it every month,
and then
sign it, Joe Biden, and then say, if Donald Trump wins, you ain't gonna get this check no more.
Right.
Instead, you bury it in a freaking tax code where nobody really, like, what is that? So we need to be focused on how to appeal to people. And the polling, the results of the election were not off from the polling. The polling had Donald, the election neck and neck. I mean, it wasn't like it was completely out of left field with numbers that made no sense. Everything made sense. Everything was neck and neck. Everything, we talked about it every day, every time we talked about it before the election. The election's within the margin of turnout. And our people did not turn out. Whether it was Gaza, whether it was just people forgetting, whether it was inflation. The reality is that our people either did not turn out or a lot of them flipped because they thought Donald Trump was going to lower prices on day one. They believed him.
So, right. So just a couple of points, though, because I just want to be just objectively. They use Rockland as I guess sort of an example or a test case. So what they were trying to show, it wasn't just drop off in votes. It was drop off in comparison to very, very down ballot and some not so down ballot, because they looked at Arizona, the drop off between the presidential line and the senatorial line. In North Carolina, the drop off between and I think Rockland, it was a drop off, a tremendous drop off between Harris and Gillibrand. So the point they were trying to make, all these Democrats decided not to vote for Kamala Harris, even though they voted for everybody else.
Mark, you know why that could be. Black woman.
Well, yeah.
I mean, all those other down ballot candidates in every state except for Arizona were white.
But I think, too, though, it was so what they were trying to show, what they guess they're still researching, is how consistent and across the board it was. So there's a general vibe question. You can't win one battleground state, one. And what they're aiming to show is every single one, there was this drop off. That doesn't negate what you're saying. Maybe that is the final argument.
So I know people ask, well, why can you have a representative poll, national representative poll, with only polling 600 people?
Right.
How can you say 600 people represent 330 million Americans, right? And the reason is because statistics. Once you get a certain number, you get a statistically valid sample, right? And you won't deviate from that number. I mean, this is just stats 101. And so you have a situation where you had a shift in the national vote that was uniform across the country. That is what a nationalized election looks like. So the only difference you see in those votes is that in the battleground states, the margin is a lot tighter. And Trump won those by almost nothing, within 1%. But Mark, we won them by 1% last time. So this notion that we lost all the battleground states, Mark, we won all those states in 2020, every single one of them. So this notion that we got to go back to Ronald Reagan or whatever. No, we don't. We got to go back to 2020. We won all those states.
So that's fine. But here's the other thing that they're theorizing and researching, not definitively yet.
Yeah.
Whether or not, and this goes back to Rockland County, whether or not, and I think you'll agree with this, that's why a lot of us and a lot of people say paper ballots. What they're wondering is there a way to do digital ballot stuffing?
Uniform across every jurisdiction across the entire country. When they all have different ballot boxes, different software, different election mechanisms, different election.
Well, not necessarily.
No,
they were saying that in these in many of these states, they use the same software. And I think it's only like two or three companies at the most. Maybe
right,
just.
But two. Then you're talking about hacking into every state's software. Again, it's not a realistic thing, not any more than Mike Lindell, my pillow guy, claiming that the box boxes were hacked by satellites from Italy. Like this is we lost the election. I know this is hard for people to see, but there was a national shift of 6 points uniform across the country, 3 points in battleground states because of our turnout game. It's just math. And the idea that we lost, we won all the battleground states in 2020, except for North Carolina, which we haven't won since Bill Clinton, right? Or Obama, since Obama. So, and North Carolina is sort of hovering on that like light red. But other than that, we won all those states in 2020. We lost them all in 2024.
Right.
So there's nothing magical about losing all the battleground states. That's why they're battleground states. And when you have a national shift and we have a very nationalized election, that is perfectly, perfectly, not just plausible, but that's how you would expect it to look. There's nothing about the way the election rolls. So it's like, whoa, this is like really up. Like suddenly like Michigan, we lose by 15. But even that happens, right? Obama won Indiana in 2012 and then lost it by 10 points in 2016. Shifts happen. Doesn't mean it's nefarious. It just means that
we had
a shitty situation with inflation and it took advantage of that.
Well, last thing I'll say on this, again, it's the vibe. It's things have been said. Trump said days out, he had it in the bag. Elon told him that. Elon and him fall out, and Elon's pretty much telling everybody, yeah, well, I did him a solid. So I guess it's just that when you look at some of these, they call them anomalies.
Trump said he had it in the bag in 2020, and he lost. And Elon Musk spent $280 million. That's his solid. I mean, again.
So this is where I come down. There's a thing called projection. So when Trump and Lindell and the insurrectionists say the election was stolen, well, you know, we know it wasn't. But that's been their history. They project. Like they project they're being treated in a racist way. So if they can project anything, I think we don't necessarily need to allow ourselves to be neutralized in stuff that might be real. Not that there should have been an insurrection in January, but I think it hurt Democrats for everybody to be sitting up there acting like everything was normal.
That we can agree on.
Right.
Like we can agree. I mean, even Joe Biden has said, I should have signed the COVID checks.
Right.
That was he called it stupid. That was stupid. I should have learned from Donald Trump. Like those are things that we suck at. Like pretending that we'll be rewarded by following tradition and being taking the high road. And Michelle Obama's old famous like they go low, we go high. Like we do not get rewarded for that. That's the problem, is you got to run politics in a way that actually politics, that people see the benefits of why they should be voting for Democrats. Don't stick the child tax credit into a tax credit in the freaking, most people don't even itemize. Like it doesn't even benefit most people. They don't itemize, right? Don't be doing that. Send them a freaking check. If it's important to help a young mother, and it is, we should be helping young mothers with their children. Send them a check. And so they see, oh, when Democrats are in power, they help.
Yeah.
And oh, if Republicans win, they're going to cut this off. Now I got a reason to vote.
So speaking of segments being taken down, you know, I'm just putting what I receive out there. So Facebook took us down for that segment we just aired on this show today. We may get taken down elsewhere. People on Facebook are texting me now. I saw it and it's gone. The segment with Election Truth Alliance, TikTok took me down. I guess, you know, they thought. So see, again, that's part of the problem. They can say whatever they want to say. But if we say something, we even raise a question, oh, that's invalid. And we can't talk about at all the possibility of something tricky or shaky going down. But you know, I don't disagree with anything you're saying.
So there are real election suppression efforts.
Yes.
Can we focus on those? We know that Mississippi, yeah. Right? Louisiana, where you know the black vote is deeply suppressed.
Yes.
There's a lot of real, like, if Democrats get the trifecta in 2028 or 2020, when's the next? Yeah, 28. We gotta reform the voting system, right? We gotta make it easier to vote. We gotta eliminate these efforts that states do to keep black and brown and young and college students from voting. Like there's a whole litany of ways that the actively suppress the vote. But in those battleground states, Mark, we had Democratic governors in all of them but one. We had Democratic Secretary of States in all but one. The people running the election were all Democrats. They weren't in 2020 when we lost. It was almost all Republicans across the board. They were all Democrats except for Georgia. And Georgia was the one place where I actually trust Republicans to run a fair election, because you saw what happened in 2020. They were the ones, the exact same people that ran the 2020 election. And they stood up to Trump. So there is, to me, it's a distraction in a way that keeps us from focusing on the real problems, the actual voter suppression that we have, the actual problems we have in the way we message and how we appeal to people, and why are we losing low-income voters. Like, those are questions that we need to grapple with, instead of being like, nah, all good, we won, they stole it. Like, keep doing what we're doing because it was all good. We only lost because they stole the election. That, to me, is the danger. Just people...
No, I agree with that. I don't think anybody's saying it. I'm not saying anybody goes to the extreme of other stuff. But what my takeaway was, if people are looking at the digital nature of our elections and what risks that may cause, I think that's not an out of the way discussion. And so I'm not necessarily afraid to hear that information. No, I mean, I don't think we can be absolutely conspiratorial about it. But it's just food for thought. And that's where that was really the main point for me when they went, because, you know, I go back. I'm an OG when it comes to election accountability and ranked choice. I was talking about that 30 years ago before it even became a thing. Paper ballots. So they, you know how in the movie they say, you had me at hello. They had me at Mark. That's why we need paper ballots, just to make sure. And I said, okay, boom. So that's the fundamental thing, because we're not going to get the election back. We're not going to redo it. And it just was very, very strange. I mean, like I said, in North Carolina, man. Your point is well taken. Joy didn't even raise that. Joy Reid said, this is what she said. Is the drop off possibly having a great deal to do with Gaza, right? And I forgot what he said. There is an African American, a statistician. That's not the right term, but he's a scholar, a number scholar, whatever you call those, at Michigan, Walter Mebane, and they use his models and research. I reached out to Dr. Mebane. I said, Dr. Mebane, you want to come on? This is what he said. He didn't want to do media engagements right now. I don't know what that's about. But his research is on the site. It's just very, very interesting to look at. MAGA, when they say, oh, well, we cheated and we stole an election, we just never see any numbers for that. It's just something crazy they make up. But folks, again, all of these things we present for you to be self-determining, because we don't do propaganda. We're not trying to change, influence people in that way. But just something to think about and observe and satisfy what I know many of you have expressed your concerns are. It just doesn't feel right. And nobody, you know, I remember when Reagan was elected and he was horrible. And everybody around the country said, I didn't vote for him. And we were like, well, somebody had to vote for him. You couldn't find anybody admitted they voted for Ronald Reagan. Well, somebody had to. So either everybody lied or something else went wrong. It's hard to find people today, just average person, who says that they just didn't vote for her. Yeah, I didn't vote for her. Even if they didn't vote for Trump. And that's what these numbers are showing. There were just so many people who just left it blank. And we did not raise the question of race in our conversation. We raised the question of guns, at least Joy did. You're raising the question of race now. That's a valid question.
And sex.
And sex. But, you know, and that's what Rockland County, I think. I didn't quite get the fixation on Rockland either. They think there's some there, though. And so the folks in Rockland are digging all in, and I think they're in court. I don't know. I don't really know what the argument is, but I got a notice today, like, oh, this Rockland thing. So I don't know what smoking gun is there. But folks, just to be clear, Kirsten Gillibrand won that county, and there was a tremendous drop off for Kamala Harris. And what they're saying in a Democratic county like that, why would that many people do that? So, to be continued. maybe there's no there there. And I'm not suggesting, I'm not signing myself to saying that the whole thing was stolen like that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it doesn't hurt to hear what people have to say in the razor. And that was just kooky, it's kooky, but this didn't seem too kooky to me. It just they had the scientific, the University of Michigan scholar, all of that. So
yeah, I mean, just bottom line, if there was an effort to steal an election, it wouldn't be in New York City or New York State. There's nothing there.
Right.
So
right.
So I mean, if they were talking about Oakland County, Michigan, it's a different story.
Well, no, but I think what they were trying to show not so much that Rockland County is an example of the thing was stolen, but is Rockland County a place where there was some type of mechanism or some type of electronic operation that did ballot stuffing? I think that's all they're looking at. Like, how does that, and anywhere they see these anomalies, they want to investigate and say, is this legitimate? Were these paper ballots? I think that's more, that's what I took away from the Rockland County piece. It was more of that.
I think it's a combination of race, sex, Gaza, apathy with people feeling pinched by inflation, a feeling that Biden and then Harris weren't really talking about inflation. In fact, they're declaring victory on the economy because we had the lowest inflation in the industrialized world and we had the lowest employment. So it was sort of a disconnect with how people were feeling in what the rhetoric was. I think there's a lot of those pieces, and each one might be a sliver, but you add them up and you get the 6%.
Fair enough.
The shift. And the shift actually impacted Democratic candidates. I mean, we lost the Senate race in Pennsylvania. So it wasn't just them. So there was a national shift. And then you had the undercount was, we're talking 1%. I mean, it's not, I mean, Trump won it by those battleground states by half a point, and we won those Senate races by half a point. So we're talking a 1-point shift. So the undercount's 1%. I mean, this is not a ridiculous number given the fact that she wasn't a white male candidate. If she had been, I don't know, what's the guy from Shapiro? Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, who is pretty popular in Pennsylvania, probably would have looked different, I think. And that's still sort of the hard reality that freaking sucks. Like, Harris would have been a great president. I thought she was a great candidate. And not perfect, but I thought she was a great candidate. And people talk shit about her. I actually thought she did a great job.
You say it might have been different if Shapiro had been on the ticket, is what you're saying?
No, had he been the presidential nominee. Like, a white guy. I mean, he's Jewish, so maybe he would have had some Jewish anti-Semitism things to deal with. Who knows? But the reality is still that I think that in 2020, Joe Biden's probably the only one of our nominees who would have beat Donald Trump in 2020. I was a Warren partisan, but I think in the end, a woman or a gay man or a black woman would have lost to Donald Trump. I think we're still at a place in our country where we're so divided. So the partisan split of the country right now is 49% Democratic, 48% Republican. This is Pew data. We're 49-48% country. All you need is 2% of racists misogynists or anti-Semites or whatever to cost us an election in such a 50-50 divided nation. That's kind of the look at that. I worked for an election in North Carolina. There were a number of young white women, young African-Americans who voted for Trump. Now, the numbers weren't huge, but they were enough to shift. This is why I say, Mark, right now we're a 49-48 Democratic country. We shift 5%. We don't need to like convince all the MAGA people, the cultists, like they're gone. We shift that 5% and suddenly we're a 43% country. That's a 12-point cushion. And then you can absorb a 6-point national shift towards the Republicans and we still win. Just 5%, 5 points. We just move it over 5 points. And that can be from either disenchanted Republicans who were like, oh, I thought he was going to lower prices. And in fact, inflation went up. It could be people who didn't vote because they didn't think it mattered. And now they maybe realize it matters. How do we get 5%, a 5-point shift? So we go from 49-48 to 54-33. How do we do that? That's all it takes. because he's right now our country is moving on these tiny little fluctuations. And so we run a black woman candidate. We lose 2 points because of that. Oh, who cares? It's 2 points, like only 2% of America. That's not a lot of people. When it's 50-50, it's a lot of people. It's enough to cost us the election. And I suspect same thing with a Jewish candidate, with a black man candidate, with a Latino candidate. All the rumors are that Ruben Gallegos wants to run for president. Like, I'd love for him to run for president. He's a brown man. Like, we're going to run into these issues as long as we're a 50-50 country. How do we shift? And I think focusing on delivering to people. Trump ran on, I'm gonna save you money on day one. He didn't deliver, but that's what he ran on, right? Candidate's first job is to get elected. That's what Mamdani is doing. He's running on, I'm gonna make your life cheaper. I'm gonna freeze rent. I'm gonna make groceries cheaper. I'm gonna make riding the buses free. Like, can he deliver? It's a whole different question. And I'm a cynic, and I question whether he can. But his first job is to get elected, right? And what you do is you tune to people's desire for a cheaper life, because life is freaking hard.
Right.
And you say, my job is to save you money. That's the first step. And Democrats haven't done that.
Yeah, haven't done a lot. We're in trouble, y'all. All right, you all. So this video lives. This is Carter's last comment to you. I think the Marcos is dead on. We just lost. Thank you, Carter, on YouTube. Folks, be careful in sharing this one today, because it did do something.
We in trouble. Not as much trouble as South Park is.
Yeah, maybe Trump will deflect onto us in South Park. Maybe that's what'll happen.
It's going to be interesting.
Marcos Melissa's folks, Thursday Coast, dailycoast.com. Marcos, thank you, man. Talk next week.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.